Yeah, let's pray before we start. Father God, tonight it's really an awesome, awesome pleasure, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, it's more than a pleasure, Lord, it's a privilege, Lord. A privilege that we can be here, Lord, and worship the great I am. Worship the one who is above all else. Worship the one who's the center of everything we know, the center of everything we can see, the center of our lives. And Father, tonight we pray, Lord God, you'll be magnified here, specifically in the Word, Lord God, as we're going to be very practical tonight. I pray, Lord, that in a practical way, you'll draw us closer to you. You'll draw us closer to who you are. That our lives, Lord God, will really be to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. My name is also Yaku. Your name is Yaku, you are definitely more than welcome to join us because we've got many Yakus in our church. Before I start, I'd like to warn you, my three-year-old baby girl, I've got a baby girl that's three weeks old, and I've got a two-and-a-half-year-old boy. It's not been very well lately, so I haven't slept that much lately. So if you start to see me swinging like this, I'm either holding the little baby or I'm just going to fall over or something. So, in any case. We've had quite a few words in church regarding our relationship with God. And many of them is words that's showing us God's heart, that He's drawing us back to relationship with Him, drawing us back to a place where we've got like a real intimate connection with Him, back to a place where we pursue that relationship, we pursue His will, we pursue, literally His will for our lives, we pursue relationship with Him. And Fred gave a word in the morning service 2 weeks ago. I hope most of you have listened to it. Have you listened to it? Can all those who have not listened to it? Okay, don't do that. please listen to that word. Ross mentioned something in 2 weeks ago with the cell leader, after cell theme as well. It's really been a very, very directive word for us as a church. So please download it from the internet and listen to it. Specifically talking about two things. The one was our intimacy with God, relationship with Him, using that famous scripture in Matthew 7, or well-known, I guess it's not famous, it's well-known, scripture in Matthew 7, where it talks about, I'm not going to talk about it, I think you can listen to that. The other thing that was mentioned was specifically regarding our relationship with one another. It's something that's been part of what we've been talking about in church for quite a while. When Ross preached the whole of February in the evening services about friendship, and we've, in the last few weeks, about what is church and that sort of stuff. So it's really something that the Lord is wanting us to establish in our lives, to walk away from a sort of a false relationship. A superficial. It's a very good word. A superficial sort of relationships, and get to a place where we really enjoy life together, do life together, and a place where we interact and engage with one another and be accountable to one another. But it's specifically in terms of accountability, in order, or to make sure that our relationship with Christ is in order, because it creates that safe place. It creates sort of a guard against that. I'm going to continue tonight a little bit talking about our relationship with God specifically, and a bit different than what we've recently done. I think still, even if we have got the healthy accountability relationships, the fact is each and every one of us individually, we are still going to stand before God, before Jesus, individually, giving account of my life, and I'm still, as an individual, I'm accountable towards God for what He's given me. So I'm going to speak specifically, about that, and I'm going to be really, really, really practical tonight. And what I want to try and do is, it's obviously not going to be the full answer, there's more to it. I'm going to focus on one specific thing tonight, and really try and answer the question, how do we do that? How do we pursue relationship with Christ? And try and, like I say, really, really be practical. I think we can start with Jeremiah 29:13. The whole of Jeremiah 29 is a chapter that's quoted quite often from the Bible. Very often, I'd say partially misquoted. What the whole chapter is basically about, it talks about the southern two tribes of Judah. They've been taken into exile towards Babylon. And in Babylon, they, obviously it's a bit of a difficult situation. Then God comes and tells them, listen, you are going to be here now, have kids, marry, have kids, go boss, do what you need to do, because this is where you're going to be right now. And then within that, this is one of the things which God actually tells them. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And it's a massive, massive promise, actually, that God gives us. telling us if we seek him, we will find him. But there's a proviso in it. If you seek me with all of your heart. And we're going to talk about that, seeking God. How do you actually seek God tonight? Psalm 63 verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. It's David speaking. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And then Psalm 42, 1-2 as well. It's where we get the famous Afrikaans song, as Susayat Smachna Waterstrome. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And that's a place where I really believe God wants to bring us back to, a place where we can enjoy and have that thirst, that hunger inside of us. So like I say, I'm going to be very practical, and I'm going to jump straight into what I believe God has for us, because I don't want to take the whole night. And the next slide there, please. In terms of, I'm going to give you just a few points, what I believe is important. The first one, like I say, I want to be very practical. The first one is probably a bit more abstract still, but I do believe it's just necessary to stand still here for a little moment and just know and remind ourselves what God's heart is for us. And I think it's specifically important, if you also consider, I mean, we come to God because we get a sense of a realization what he's done for us and what his heart is for me. So I want to start with that. I think the rest of the stuff, this will actually also be sort of an outflow that comes from the rest of the stuff as well. But let's just start there. First and foremost, Exodus 34 verse 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Now you might wonder, why do I put that there if I want to talk about God's heart for us? But I want us to understand what this is about. God, as we must understand how much God wants to have relationship with us. He wants it so much. When the Bible talks there about God is a jealous God, it's not a jealousy as in a sin. It's the type of jealousy that a husband would have over his wife, where if someone wants to come and do whatever, try and steal his wife from him in any way whatsoever, that there's a sort of a natural jealous reaction, but it's a healthy thing, it's a good thing, because it's born out of love, and it's born out of a place that you actually want to protect this relationship, you want to protect this person. And that is what that jealousy talks about there. It's really, yeah, just talking about the fact that God so wants to have relationship with us. Exact context within which it said is, it's about idolatry, God warning the Israelites not to fall into idolatry, but the root behind that is God really wanting that relationship with his people. It's basically his chief concern in that sense. And I think it's important for us to realize that God also has a yearning, and it's a yearning towards us. It's a yearning to have relationship with us and to have us walk with him in everything we do. I think it's important that we do realize that he loves us so much that if there is something that we have in our lives that's more important than him, he doesn't really have a problem removing that thing because he wants relationship with us. And I think that's often where we misunderstand God when difficult times arrive and you experience sort of a chastisement or a disciplining from God, where we don't fully understand necessarily why, but it's all got to do with the fact that God wants to draw us back to him. He wants us to really have that relationship with him. And the previous scripture read, well, the first one, the Jeremiah 29 one, it specifically said to a people that's in the midst of being disciplined. They were taken out to exile in order so that they could come back to God and again have relationship with him again. So it's, you know, I really believe it's important that we understand that. When we talk about God wanting everything, I mean, this last song we sang, I absolutely love it, just that thing where we sing, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. And that's where God wants to bring us to. But it's not a place of God being a party pooper or that sort of thing. God doesn't want to come and steal our joy. He doesn't want to come and steal our fun. He wants us to have fullness of life, absolute full joy. But I think we forget sometimes that we cannot have that apart from God. Because it's only within God that we can understand the fullness of life, that we can understand the fullness that he has for us and the fundamental issues of life. So I really believe God brings us back to Jeremiah 33:31-3. The Lord has of old appeared to me, saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. And again, it just speaks about God's heart for us. He wants to have that relationship. And I think for me, it's something that continually blows my mind. The fact that God, the creator of the universe, I mean, we know how big the universe is. It's immeasurable. Yet scripture says that God, I can't even remember, there's two scriptures. One is it's like a curtain that he opens. That's what he do with the universe. Or it's like a span of his hand. And so just to give you sort of an idea of the massiveness of the Lord, the God, that wants to have a relationship with us. And that's really what it comes down to. His heart for us is he wants to have a relationship. And what's even more powerful is the fact that God's the initiator in this relationship. He caused Jesus to come to this earth. He's loved us first so that we can love him. 1 John 4:19. He initiates and we must respond. And I think once we respond to that, that's when things really start to happen. But that's sort of an open statement. I'm going to leave it there. Anyways, okay. So what I want to talk about tonight is specifically how do you develop that response? How do you develop that love? How do you pursue God in relationship, in intimate relationship? And the very first one that I've got there for you is point number two. It says, set your heart and mind. Deuteronomy 32:46-47. It's Moses speaking to the whole assembly of Israel just before he died and they moved with Joshua into the promised land. He said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. I want us to not really focus so much for now, we'll have a look at that in a minute, but not so focus so much on what you set your heart upon, but just those first three words, set your heart. I think what we often misunderstand in terms of that is we can change the direction of our heart. And if you look at that, it's sort of set your heart, it's an active statement, it's not passive. It's something active, it's something we need to respond and we need to do. And what we can do, we as the individuals who control our hearts, we can literally change the disposition or we can change the inclination of our hearts by setting it. And it's a decision. It's ultimately a decision that you make. Really to change what you place your heart and to change where and what part of life you're actually going to place your heart, where your heart is going to reside. Psalm 37 verse 4, it's not up on the slides, but it just talks specifically, it's also another famous scripture, I'm just going to mention the first part. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. And it's, again, it's an active thing. It's something you do with your heart. Psalm 119 verse 112, I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes. It's what it talks about, an active thing, inclining your heart towards the will of God, inclining your heart towards him. But I've already mentioned what you incline it towards, but it's important for now just to realize that we can make that decision. We can incline our hearts. We can set our hearts in a certain direction. And I think what we can do, what is very powerful too, is obviously you make the decision firstly, but then speak to your heart. Just literally speak to your heart. And you can use a lot of the words that David used in scriptures, and I've just taken three. Psalm 13 verse 5, but I've trusted in your steadfast love, my heart shall rejoice. Just say that over your heart. Stuff like that. My heart shall rejoice. My heart shall have faith. My heart shall be strong. There's other examples as well. I think I'm not going to run through all of them. But really to use just scripture in itself as a sort of a declaration over your heart. Speaking to your heart. Setting your heart in the right direction. I think we must understand that if we don't do this, we have got a default position, a default setting that our hearts are placed at. And it's not necessarily a very good one. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says it so powerfully. The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. And if we don't set our hearts, that's going to be our default position, the default place where we fall in and where we go to. So yeah, we need to set it correctly. Colossians 3 verse 2. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. It's actually exactly the same as setting your heart. I mean, both your mind and your heart, it resides in your soul. It's that whole soul thing that you want to try and turn towards God and start by making a decision. So you decide on setting your heart. And you set it on God. You set it on seeking his will. And then also Ezra 7 verse 10 is a bit of a additional thing I think that we can add to there, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances to Israel. He had prepared his heart. And Ross this morning spoke quite powerfully concerning just the parable of the sower. And it's really, really so powerful. If you look at it, I mean, you've got the guy who sows, the sower, God who sows the seed. And this one seed lands on the hard ground, on a heart that's not able to receive the word. The other one lands on a rocky patch where the soil is shallow, and it can't find a depth in root. And once the sun comes up, once the trials and stuff comes up, the plant withers because the heart hasn't got any depth to receive the word and to find root in God in it. And then you've got the other one with the thorns and the thistles, where it talks about the cares of this life, and what's the other thing? I can't remember it now. The riches that chokes the word. And it talks about a heart that there's a lot of other stuff already there that chokes the riches of this world, the cares of this life, choking the word of God. Therefore, what God wants to have grown in that heart doesn't happen. Then there's the last one, the good soul, which speaks about a heart that's prepared, a heart that's, you've gone and you've actively involved yourself in setting your heart to see God, prepare yourself for, you know, what he wants to set in that. So it's, I want us to just get this concept right, that we can decide and we can set our hearts in a direction. And obviously the direction we need to set it is set it on God's word, set it in the direction of God's will for our lives. So what I want to get to in terms of what we specifically for tonight set our hearts on, our hearts and our minds on, is on the word of God. And I'm going to remain on the word of God for the rest of the night. So, that's point three. I think, just concerning this, I think it's fair to say that if we pursue relationship with God, we can take some of the stuff we've learned from our relationships with one another and apply it in this sense as well. For instance, back in the day, let's call it back in the day, when I met my wife, I had a desire for an intimate relationship with her. Let's make it an emotional intimate relationship for now. You guys aren't laughing, huh? You are. I had a desire for the relationship with my wife. What is the very, very first thing that I do? If I've got a desire to have a relationship with a certain person, an emotional intimate relationship, what's the first thing you do? You get to know the person. Isn't that so? It's impossible to have an intimate relationship with someone if you don't know the person. Do you agree with that? Okay. What do we do with God? If we want to pursue God, if we want to pursue relationship with God, what's the first thing you do? You get to know God. So how do you get to know God? Answer to that, answer you can scream at me because you know it in any case, but it is the Word of God. Literally the Word of God. And I think we said with the previous point, we need to set our heart, and we ended it with set our heart on the will of God, on God specifically, but specifically on His will and what He has for our lives. But foundational to that, foundational to knowing God, foundational to knowing God's heart for us and God's will for us, is to focus ourselves and to set our hearts on the Word of God, because that's where we can learn God, that's where we can learn who God is, and we can learn what His will is for our lives. That's the starting point for intimacy with God. John Piper has a good quote: "A relationship with God happens most fundamentally by the Spirit through the Word." Relationship with God happens most fundamentally by the Spirit through the Word, and I think it's actually quite a powerful statement. That's what we do. We come to God, we read His Word, and the Holy Spirit illuminates for us the truth of God's Word, and by that we get to know God better. And I do think we very often quite blasé in our approach to God's word. I think we tend to forget the fact that there's so many people who've really given their lives to either copy the word or to get it into a country where there's no Bibles, and even just for us to get it to a place where we can have it now. A lot of people have actually given their lives and sowed so much for us to can have it, and it's something that's really, really very, very precious. And I don't want us to get to understand and see how precious it is once we've actually lost it. I want us to really know what it is. I've got a book on my bookcase at home. It's an old book. It's really old. It's falling apart, but it's one of those books that's very precious to me. It's just a little historical story about a guy. His name is Harran Popov. He was a Bulgarian, and in Bulgaria was a pastor in a church. And he, just after the Second World War, obviously Bulgaria became a communist nation, and all the pastors, they had basically a decision whether they could join the new state church or whether they are going to go to prison. So he decided, no, he's going to remain faithful to God, he's going to go to prison. And in prison, obviously, there's no Bible. You're not allowed to have a Bible. You're not even allowed to have a Bible in the country in any case. So in prison, even less. And one day when they were sent out to a place outside, and it was literally quite bad. It was, in a sense, a sort of a concentration camp, but they weren't even allowed to speak to one another. They were sent out into the fields to work, and if they were seen speaking to one another, they get shot. Simple as that. And one day when they were in the cells again, he saw one of his fellow inmates with a book. And the guy was tearing the book and rolling cigarettes or Zols, whatever, rolling it in order to smoke it. And he realized that that book was actually a Bible. So in the end, he literally begged it off the person. And what he did was he knew that Bible wouldn't be there forever. At some other stage, it's going to be found and it will be confiscated. So what he did was he really actively memorized scripture. So much that within a few months, he could recite either 42 or 45 chapters of the New Testament completely, just like that. And it ended up being quite powerful, because after 15 years in prison, he got freed and he got involved in the underground church. And the underground church in Bulgaria at that stage also didn't have Bibles. The people were Christians, but they didn't have Bibles. And he could actually, God could use him powerfully. He could read the word to them from memory and actually teach them from that. And it's something he sowed back in the prison cells, but obviously meaning he had a hunger for the word, a hunger for it to really be part of his life. And later, the fruit that comes from it was even so much more. So it's really, I mean, stories like that is stories that encourage me a lot, and it puts into perspective for me again my approach towards God's word and how I see that. Okay, so what I want to do is just quickly, I'm not going to talk much about this, is just list for you guys some benefits that we do receive apart from, obviously, pursuing relationship and finding a relationship with God. Just some additional benefits, literally, for us that I want to show you. I'm not going to speak much about this, not the focus that for what I want to do. It increases our faith. Romans 10:17 is also a much quoted verse. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Sanctifies us. It cleanses us. It really purifies us. It comforts us and brings us hope. That's one thing that I can really, really testify of. Quite a few years back, I think it was about 5 years back, I had a bit of a health issue with one or two things, and I was literally struck with fear. I couldn't sleep at night. And there's a lot of scriptures you can use. The one God brought me to was Psalm 91. I would literally read it over and over and over, and it brought so much peace and comfort to me in that stage. It brings joy. Gives guidance and direction in life, increases our fruitfulness, and it brings purpose to life. I'm not going to speak about that. That's just extra for free. You can enjoy that. Okay. What I want to focus on is, what do we do with the Word of God? We said we want to pursue relationship with God. Part of that is, or a big part of it, the start of that is pursuing or setting our hearts, setting our minds on His Word. So what do we do with the Word of God? And what should our general approach be? Joshua 1 verse 8. Again, if you look on, let me leave that. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Okay, it's obviously, this was spoken specifically about the first 5 books of the Old Testament, the Torah, that Moses gave them. And God didn't just tell them this in order for them to make sure they can do what they need to do and not do what they don't need to do. It's literally also because in those 5 books, God reveals His heart. He reveals who He is. He reveals who He wants to be for them. And it's very similar for us. Something that specifically applies to us as well. Now, I want us to look at just 4 principles for now. We'll go a little bit deeper in a second, but just four principles from that book. We'll be getting more than four from the book, but just four from the verse. And the first one there is, read the word daily. And it's basics. It's really, really basics. And it's what we're coming back to tonight. I remember my wife, when we were still in Pretoria, she worked with a lady for a bit more than a year. Christian lady, spiritual Christian lady. And she, quite a few times, actually sort of showed her frustration and irritation by the fact that she couldn't find time to spend with God. But we later found out she actually slept till 8 every morning. And I find it difficult to have sympathy with someone like that. I really do. And it's maybe because it's still a bit of my heart that Christ needs to come into. But, I mean, if you do that, that's exactly how you're not supposed to do it. Finding time to spend with God doesn't fall out of the air. It's something we must schedule it. If we have to, we must do it like appointment style. And come to God and really have a fixed time that we come to God and, yeah, to schedule it in everything we do. I think if we're really about pursuing God, I mean, a lifestyle like that obviously testifies of the fact that you don't really want to know God. So if you want to know God, then we pursue it. We prioritize spending that time with Him. Second one is memorize it. Isn't something that's specifically or explicitly mentioned in the verse. It is implicitly implied, because if you meditate on it day and night, it obviously means you've got it here. You know it. It's somewhere inside. And most of us, we tend to be forgetful. I don't think I'm that forgetful. I just don't remember stuff. So we need to. If I want to get the Word of God in my heart, if I want to get it into me, to abide in me, I need to get it into my mind and into my head first. And I've got a hunch it's the same for every one of us, that we really need to apply our mind and get it into us to have it really, really abide in us. And I think the ultimate aim with memorizing Scripture is to have Scripture abide inside of us, to have it go from the head to the heart at some other stage. We'll talk about that. The third one there is meditate on it. Now, there's a lot of stuff you can find on meditating on Scripture. That Joshua 1:8, is probably the first verse you'll find with every single thing that talks about meditating on Scripture or the fact that we need to do it. And I'll give you a few pointers in a minute exactly how we do that. But for now, I'm going to give you just broad terms. It means contemplate what you've read. Get to a place of spiritual understanding, not mental understanding, spiritual understanding. You remind yourself of the Scripture the whole time, having committed it to memory. And you think about it. Well, what does it say? What does it mean? And specifically, what is God saying to me through the Scripture? It's stuff that you think about and you reflect on it. You ponder over it. Sorry, Psalm 119, verse 15. It's not on the slides. It says, Ross also quoted Psalm 119 this morning, David speaking, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. And also verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I sometimes do wonder, I have wondered before, how David could know God so well. I mean, he did some stuff that was actually against the law. And I'm not specifically referring to the fact that he had a thing with Bathsheba. thing. it was a thing. In any case, the fact that he went and he ate the showbread and that sort of stuff, which is actually not lawful for him to do, but nothing happened to him. Nothing happened to him. Because he knew God. He knew God's heart. And this is what he did. He meditated on God's word. It was his desire. And it's obviously also places Ross mentioned this morning, this times where he also had to sort of force himself. He had to say to his heart that you will do this, you will meditate on it. So it does happen, but that's how he knew God. So yeah, biblical meditation, about filling your mind and your heart with the Word of God. It's obvious, obviously, I mean, the word meditation is very well known, all the Eastern stuff. Most of the Eastern stuff talks about emptying your mind. That is unbiblical. I want to say to you, I'm not sure if any of you are involved with stuff like that and stuff like yoga and that sort of stuff. Anything that involves emptying your mind is unbiblical. We are meant to be at the place of one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control, not a place where there's no control. If you're not the one in control in terms of placing your mind on God or wherever, something else will take that control. So, yeah, just want to leave that out there. Okay, so yeah, so we're a place where we exchange our faulty beliefs with that of word, with the Word of God. We exchange. You all know Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And this is part of in terms of how we do that, really engrafting God's Word on our minds and our hearts, and have our mindsets renewed. Okay. So, let's leave it at that. Place where you're really meditating means you internalize Scripture, you personalize it. But we'll talk a little bit about that. And then, in just a second. Then the last one is apply it. We obviously know. The book of James says we mustn't just be hearers of the word, we must be doers of the word. So you hear the word, you make it part of who you are, you go out and you do it. Apply it and see the fruits that comes from that. I've got another little book on my bookshelf. It's also quite an old book. It's a book, the title of the book is How to Live Like a King's Kid, referring to the fact that God is our king and I'm God's son. And the book is, it reads sort of like an action movie. The guy, given some testimonies of what has happened in his life, Harold Hill is the guy's name. It's actually a crazy book, but it's one of the things that he talks about concerning his approach to the Word of God is he says, this is my handbook for life. Or, we all know Angus Buchan as well. He calls the Bible his agricultural handbook. And it's being at a place where you see the benefit of the Bible in your everyday life, in everything you do. And that's where we come to a place of really applying it. So what I want to look at quickly, hopefully, is specifically meditating on the Word of God. What is meditating on the Word of God? And I've got two very, very good quotes. One is from Andrew Murray. Meditation is the heart turning towards God with his own word, seeking to take it up into the affection and will into his very life. Meditation is the heart turning towards God with his own word, seeking to take it up into the affection and will into his very life. Speaking specifically about turning towards God with his word. And that's what we use. Another quote is from Campbell McAlpine. Meditation is a devotional practice of pondering the words of a verse or verses of Scripture with a receptive heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to take the written word and apply it as the living word to the inner being. It's quite powerful words, but that's ultimately what it comes down to. Ultimately what we have to do. And when he speaks about that receptive heart, and that's you've set your heart to receive. You set your heart to receive from God and to hear from him. Okay, so that's what meditation is on in terms of meditating on the Word of God. How do you do it? And I think that's where we often sort of miss it. We don't really know how to meditate on the Word of God. Let's start and run through this stuff. How do you meditate on God's Word? The very, very first thing that we must realize is that there's a difference between Bible study and meditating on God's Word. There's a difference. Bible study is about knowing and understanding mentally, but when you get to meditation, you're at a place where you want to appropriate, you want to make it part of you. You appropriate the Word of God and the truth in God's Word. It's a difference. And one of the guys I've read, he said that it's learning. The one is Bible study is learning about God, and meditation is obviously opposite to that. It being about knowing God. So it's knowing about God versus it being about knowing God. So it's a small change, but it's actually massive. Actually massive change in terms of how we're going to approach our time with Scripture when we do that. Andrew Murray said another thing also concerning that, talking about reflection, says that understanding, again, your mind grasps the meaning and bearing of the truth, and then meditation is where it assimilates, it appropriates the truth. So let's run through the practical stuff. How to meditate on the Word of God. Firstly, obviously after the difference between Bible study and meditation, it is God's Word that you're looking at. So the very, very first thing we do when we come to Scripture, when we come to God, is I'm very practical tonight. I want to be very practical, like, because I want to give you stuff that you can actually go and apply. So this is not deep stuff. This is practical stuff. You must go and apply it. And okay, so you come to God, you present yourself before God. And it's just an almost thing, you know, Lord, here I am. I've got the inability to understand your word. Lord, please give me the ability. Illuminate for me your word, illuminate for me scripture. And yeah, just acknowledging our limited capacity, acknowledging then also our desire for it. Sometimes it's good that we acknowledge our lack of desire. And obviously you speak to yourself and you say that to the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to come and stir that inside of us. So yeah, ask God to open the scriptures for you and to give you insight in scripture. It's literally that basic, how you come to God. I mean, if you come to God, obviously you speak to him. So it's part of what we do. And I think within that, maybe just to mention, it's something that we struggle to do these days. I struggle with it, having two little kids in the house. But finding a quiet place to do that is actually really important. Specifically, if you want to not just do a Bible study, you want to meditate on Scripture. You want to sit quietly, you want to think it over, you want to see what it means, you want to understand it, you want to really make it part of who you are. And for that, finding a quiet place. If you've got children, it means getting up very early. So, yeah, do that. Yeah, maybe also to mention everything on the slide. I mean, it's very rough methods, stuff for us to apply, but it's not going to mean that much if our heart is not in it. So it, again, it speaks from our, it finds fruit in a heart that really, really wants to serve God. It really wants to know God and be with him. Okay, so after that, read for observation and application. It just simply talks about how am I going to approach Scripture. I'm not going to be blasé about this. I'm going to be approach it with purpose. Got a certain purpose in mind. That's what I'm going to do. So, yeah, read with observation, for observation and application. Record your thoughts. Have a journal. I think that's something most of us probably we get right relatively. You come to Scripture, you write what you read about, you ask yourself a few questions, or ask God a few questions on paper. Do that. It's really important that we do that. It's actually quite powerful if you go back to that stuff and go see what did you get from it and how you've developed in your relationship with God and all that sort of stuff. It's really quite powerful. But not just that, the truth that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, again, because we forget stuff, write it down so we can get back to it. And within that also, make that part of what we are, or who we are. So yeah, any thought you've got, any question you've got, and then also the answers that God gives you, record it, make a journal out of it. Emphasize each word concept of the verse. That's just in how you approach it and how you think about it, where you would have a verse and you would take the different concepts and just in your how you think about it, just emphasize the different concepts. And it's members, maybe give you a bit of an idea. Let's take that Romans 12:2 verse. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. So you can literally break it up in do not. You can look at the be conformed, but be transformed, and then whatever, and that sort of sense. Just break it up in little bits. Don't change the meaning of the scripture. Just, it's sometimes easy or good to do that, just to go and look at the different concepts, because it makes the meaning of what is said actually a bit clearer. If we just sort of break it up in a bit of a structure, you see everything that's said. So often we read over the scripture and we miss so many powerful things that's within it. So just break it up a bit and just think about everything that is said there. Let's leave that one there. Memorize the verse. I think we've talked about this. Obviously, get the word into you. I mean, if you want the Holy Spirit to later remind you of something, you need to give it something to remind, give him something to remind you of. So you must have memorized and have it in there, in your mind and in your heart. Analyze the verse. It's just, yeah. So in a sense, to sort of answer the question, how do I apply this verse? How do I apply this to my life? And it again, just boils down to asking questions. And we're talking about the basics here of normal biblical interpretation. You don't have to make a full theological study of the verses. It's not necessary. Just do the basics right. And I think most often we actually do. It happens automatically. But just make sure that you do that. And you ask the type of questions, who, what, when, where, and why. You don't get to the how yet. The how is going to be, how do I apply this? But get sort of a context of what is happening, but not just in that verse, go a bit broader, obviously. What's the context of the book and that sort of stuff? And I think what's very helpful for that is your sort of your study Bibles. ESV study Bible, it's relatively new. It's really very good. NIV study Bible, also quite good. I've heard a bit of a rumor that the new NIV is actually going to be a gender-neutral Bible. So I would stay away from that one. It's just a rumor. I'm not sure it's actually going to be, but just double-check that. But the current NIV study Bible is also very good. And then most of you probably have got the Spirit-filled Life Bible. It, in the front of every book, it gives you sort of a bit of background and that sort of stuff. So most of the answers are already there for you. You don't need to go and do a massive search for it. And it's they give it very basic, but it's good. It gives you context to what has been spoken about. And then, Achman, you can obviously go to the meaning of the words. I think it's important. But again, stay basic. Don't be too tense about going into the deep stuff unless you've really got a heart and a desire for that. Then there's some interesting tools out there. And I think for that, the easiest thing for you guys to get is just a normal eSword. Everyone got eSword? You know what eSword is? Okay, you guys are on the ball. Okay, I'm not going to talk further about analyzing the verse. It's really just the basics. Just make sure that you're not taking out of that verse what is actually not implied, what is not said. It's also part of what we did. This is probably, I guess, more bit of study that you do before, Bible study that you do before you actually start to meditate on the word. So it should have probably been first. Then we said this, repeat the verse in your mind and ponder on it, weigh it in your mind, is what it basically comes down to. Just, yeah, repeat it and allow it to grab an effectual hold in your heart. Personalize the verse. Place yourself in the verse, but in the sense of imagine the fruit that applying this verse will have in your life. So, and think about that as well and approach it in such a sense and then vocalize it. Pray about it. Pray to God. Chat to your friends about it. Pray together about it. This is also something that we need to discuss. We need to be open with one another and say, listen, I don't understand the scripture. Can you help me? That sort of stuff. Get into the scripture and get it into your heart. And something that was also mentioned slightly this morning is not on there, but to just visualize the text. Just in terms of your mind, you've all got imagination. Just visualize it in terms of how did it actually happen? What happened and what's the sort of setup in a sense, and make it come alive for you in a sense. But like I said, all of this stuff, the only fruit you're going to get from it is if you really apply your heart and your heart into this. So there's some guys that also adds to this paraphrasing scripture. It might help, but I'd be careful with doing that because you might change the whole meaning of it. So try and stay as close to what the text says if you can. Okay, that's just very broadly how do you meditate on God's word, but it's basics. And it's something, it's just forcing yourself to apply, forcing yourself to not just read the word, but to actually dig into it and let it find hold in you. And I think what we do often do is we realize, oh, yeah, I must sort of get my quiet time with God right again, and we go to a place early in the morning, we start to wake up earlier again, and we open the Bible, and it's like, okay, what am I going to read now? And that's sort of the thing that we want to try and avoid. If you start to read randomly, there's a place, obviously, where the Holy Spirit is going to lead you. The Holy Spirit is going to take you to specific scriptures, and there's a time and a place where you go to specific scriptures if you need encouragement. It's all part of it, but I think we need to become a bit more systematic in it. And maybe just as a last point for tonight is how do you choose what you're going to meditate on? And that is to be a bit more systematic in terms of what we do. I think if we do take the word and we go out and we just read whatever we want this morning and whatever we're going to do next morning, you're not going to last very long because it's not going to mean that much for you. You'll find something, obviously, I mean, it's the word of God, but it's only in the real application of it that you're going to really learn to know God. Because then you start to really focus on the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God. You see God for the fullness of who he really is. So yeah, what I want to maybe stress in there is to have a systematic reading plan. And I think we underestimate how much the Holy Spirit can lead us within that systematic reading plan, to have that. And don't necessarily stay religiously to it. I think we sort of move away from the systems and the plans and stuff because you don't want to be religious, but we end up being religious, religiosity. That was a big word. In any case, so yeah, but I mean, ask the Holy Spirit leads, but have a plan. If you're not going to have a plan, I mean, if you, you know, I've said it in another day in another place. I can't remember where I did, but I mean, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And it specifically works in the word, with the Word of God as well. We need to really, yeah, have a systematic reading plan. I think there's some real good tools available. Most of you will know the Cover to Cover book, which helps you to go through the Bible chronologically. And it's, I think that's quite powerful, specifically if you want to understand some of the prophetic books, because it immediately places what's said in context with where it happens, which is quite good. And then, yeah, I think just, yeah, there's other stuff as well. Bibleplan.org as well has got some very interesting plans. Most of them focuses on reading a specific portion of Scripture or the whole Bible within a certain time frame. And it's nice if you can read that and if you can do that. But if you take a bit longer to really appropriate the stuff, then, I mean, don't be religious about it. You can just take a bit more time and make sure you actually find it have root in you instead of just skimming over the stuff. Really, again, it all talks about our approach towards the Word of God, to really have it in our minds, in our hearts. And then I think ultimately the last thing is you're going to read a portion, and you're going to read probably a relatively long portion, but you can't meditate on all of that. Then you're going to miss it a bit. So break it up in bite-sized bits, and do that in terms of how the Holy Spirit leads you. Because even if you do it in a sort of a systematic plan, the Holy Spirit will show specific stuff to you that you look at and focus on that and meditate on that and work it from there. Okay. I wanted to do a bit of an exercise, but I think it's a bit too late tonight. I'm not going to take you much farther. But what you can do, what you can maybe do tonight at home, it's just the last slide there. Lana. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Basic scripture. It just gives some names of God. It's a scripture specifically referring to Jesus and what he did. And where he is. And so... if you want to do that and start with that, just take the scripture tonight and go and exercise some of the stuff and meditate on it and get to a place of real spiritual understanding. Okay, let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that your relationship with us, Lord, is not just about deep revelation, Lord. It's so often about doing the practical stuff and the basic stuff right. And Lord, tonight was very basic, Lord. It's stuff we've all learned before, Lord. It's stuff that some of us will be good in applying, Lord. It's stuff that some of us maybe have not done that well. But Lord, I thank you for the fact that we can come to basics and really pursue you in the basics. And Lord, I pray that you'll stir in every one of our hearts, Lord, a hunger for your word, Lord God. And even those of us who struggle with that, Lord, that we'll just, in a sense, get on the train and get on the methods and just approach your word. Just spend time with your word, Father. And I pray for your word, Lord God, to really wash us and cleanse us, Lord. And yeah, to make us more like you. Stir us, Lord. Stir us to really spend time with your word, Father. And stir a desire inside of us, Lord, to really, really know you and get to know you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that this doesn't need to be rocket science, Lord. Thank you that it can be basic and it's easy to get right. Help us fix our hearts to pursue you. In Jesus' name. Okay. Thank you very much. Ross wants to say something.
Jaco, this is really great. It was really practical. Would you mind standing with me? I'm just going to, Jaco, close now. And he prayed. I just I suspect that many of you have never seen anyone meditate on Scripture before. Have you ever meditated? How many of you have actually meditated on Scripture with someone else before? Okay, I see that hand. It's great. Let me just allow me, if you want to close your eyes, I know we're done. But I'd love it because it's difficult to say, go and do it at home, and you've never seen it. So Jaco was right, and I'm sorry that the service is slightly long, but the Lord said, pray for the depressed people, so we did. Okay, great. So you can close your eyes with me. I'm going to take a piece of scripture that's just one of my favorites. And I'm just going to pray, and we have a very short time now, but I want to show you what I do with, say for instance, I'm not going to do an analysis now. I'm just going to do a meditation exercise on Psalm 118. I think I'm going to do the first bit. Okay, so you can close your eyes and picture what I'm seeing. It's David. He's running away from Saul. So you can see David in the cave, stressed out, Saul trying to kill him. So he says, I love you, Lord, my rock, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my strength. The Lord is my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge. God, I love you. I love you with my whole heart, God. I love you with everything inside of me, God. My desire is you. My passion is you, Lord. You are my strength, God. You are the one who gives me strength, God. But more than that, God, I find strength in you, God. But more than that, God, you are my strength, God. You are the strength within me, God. You strengthen me with might in the inner man in Christ Jesus, God. You dwell in my heart. You give me strength, God. You are my strength. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is the place in whom I find refuge. The Lord is the one on whom I stand, the one who is unshakable. I will not fail because I'm planted in the house of God. I'm planted on the rock of who God is. You lift me above my enemies, God. You are my rock, God. You are the place, God, where I hide in, God, where Saul cannot get me, where my enemies cannot get me, God. I find safety, God. In a storm, God, I hide. I sit next to you, God. The wind and everything blows, God, but I find safety and warmth and strength because you will not be moved. And because you're my rock, I will not be moved. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, God. My military base, God, where no one can get me, God. Where Al-Qaeda can't find me, God, and no one can find me, God. You are my fortress, God. The military hideout, God, where no one can get to me. You are my fortress, the God in whom I trust, God. I thank you that you are trustworthy, God, that you are stable and that you are strong, God. You have not changed, God. You are always the same, yesterday and today and tomorrow, God. You are the same. You are my strength in whom I trust, God. In you I trust all day long, God. You will not change, God. I thank you, God, that when I'm unfaithful, you are faithful. I trust in you, God, with all my heart. Lean my heart to trust in you, God. You are my shield, God. You're the one, God, in the enemy times, God. You literally make a shield around me, God. Like you say in your word, God, you make a fire all around me, God. You make a dredge around me, like you say in Jeremiah, God. You are my shield, God. No one can get to me, God. Whoever must come to me, God, must pass beside you. My door, you're my shield, God. You're the one whom I take for refuge. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God whom I trust, my shield. And you are the horn of my salvation, God. You're the one who is my strength, who lifts me up, God, against anyone else. In you I trust, and therefore my heart loves you. In Jesus' name. It's a very, very simple way of praying, of saying what the word says. So you're aligning yourself with what God says in your own words and in your time with the word of God, and you literally meditate. Many times people literally just repeat the same scripture for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or half an hour. It's called breath prayers. It's what the old Jews used to do. The ancient Jews, they still do it today, old people. But it's still they're doing it, and it's a monastic style of religion that we don't know. But it's literally aligning yourself with the word of God and literally focusing on every bit. And you can focus on shorter bits, but you practice. It's you practice the art and the skill of meditation or focusing on the word. Okay, Jaco, thanks so much for the excellent layout. Guys, the Lord bless you. Lekker dag, drink koffie daar agter. If you need some ministry prayer time in front, you're welcome.